if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11, and we just started to take a look here at a study on the Passover, and we use this for a verse to kick off from. And we want to keep this passage here in mind as we go over and look at some things about the Passover. But here we see in Hebrews chapter 11, this honor roll of faith, the folks that the Lord had the writer to list here to encourage you and I to be faithful, okay? In the first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith is what you can get your hands on. It's the substance of things hoped for. And we talked about, preached about hope here a couple Sundays ago. The hope of the hope that we have based on promises of the Lord and faith that he will do them. Okay, see how that goes together? I was blessed in seeing that myself. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And so on. It goes down, and we pick it up in verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because that's indeed how long they last, is for a season. The pleasure of sin does never last. I see these fellows in the jail, and I've mentioned it here too before. Have you ever found that sin, that you could commit that sin, and then it just kept on making you feel quote-unquote good? And then the next day you were still feeling good, and the next day you were still enjoying the fruit of that sin. And that doesn't exist, does it? Because sin says, come back. Sin has got hooks and claws and keeps saying, come back, more and more and more and more. And so Moses, he did not go that way, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward, the blessing of the reward from God. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That's what Moses, for through faith, he kept the Passover. So we go over here to Exodus, take a look over here, and we just want to actually take a look at a couple points that were brought out of the at the last Wednesday when we took a look at this. But we see, we remember that passage there in Hebrews, by through faith, he kept the Passover, and we talked about what this plague was going to be, how the Lord in Exodus chapter 11 told that he was going to be sanctified in Egypt and in Pharaoh. And in chapter 12, we began to look there about how the Passover was going to be ordered and how it was to be accomplished. And so we took a poll last time. How many of you are firstborns? How many, hold your hand up high. How many of you are firstborns? That'd have been us. Okay, and how many of you have firstborn animals? We don't even know, do we? But the thing is they believed God. Moses and the children of Israel believed the Lord that he knows who they are and that he would do it. Okay, by faith, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And so we saw about the sacrifice, the lamb for the Passover to be taken. And then we took a look here in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 of Exodus 12. Okay, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, Exodus 12, 7, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his legs, head with his legs, and with the pureness thereof. And let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remain of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We took a look here at these verses that there was nothing pleasant about it. There was nothing pleasant about it all. Well, two things that we discussed, and I'm glad that these points came up in our discussion after the services last time. And so I just want to take a look at those two points, and then we'll go on here to whatever we can get to here tonight. I made mention last time that a fella would prepare for the Passover for his family, that maybe rather than taking one lamb, he would get a few of them. Or maybe he's got his herd there and he would go ahead and get a few of those and pin them up in case during that time of inspection. Okay, that's what was in my brain. That was what's in my mind. And we'll tell you why that was here in a bit. In case of that time of inspection, it would be such that he would then find a blemish on the lamb. I mean, wouldn't it be terrible? Day 10, you pick your lamb. And then day 14 is when it's going to be sacrificed. And come day 12, day 13, you find something. What are you going to do? You can't keep the lamb up for the time appointed, day 10 to day 14, because this one that you put up is blemished. That was my reasoning. You know why? You know why I said that? And here's the lesson for us. I said that because I had heard it preached back there somewhere between now and back to my childhood. I'd heard it preached about how the lamb was taken on the 10th day and put up and inspected and inspected and inspected over those days. That was preached. And so in my reasoning, I said, well, if he missed it on day 10, because when the time he picked out the lamb, he was kind of sleepy, had something in his eye, wasn't looking good, or even the lamb developed a thing, my reasoning, I'd want to put up more, because come day 14, I'd sure want to have one. Remember, the blood's got to be on the doorpost and the lintel, or the firstborn's going to die, and I'm a firstborn. Yeah, Natalie and I are firstborns. We want that lamb to be right, and we want all that to be ordered right, because it's going to cost me if it's not right. So, but I'd heard that preached. I'd heard that taught, that was the time, day 10 to day 14 was the time of scrutinizing of the lamb and taking a look at the lamb. And some of you mentioned about that. A brother here said, no, they picked one. The man picked one. Let's go ahead. Let's read that. And that's good. I'm glad of the question. I'm glad of the candor about what the Scripture says. I'm glad about it. I that doesn't bother me. If you find out that I'm wrong in the Scripture, I want to know it, because all I want to do is be right. I want to be right. I want to obey the Lord. I just want to line up with Him. Okay, so here in Exodus 12, let's take a look here in verse number 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, like there's too much there and somebody beside you has a little family, or maybe some of your other kin, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. And every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So I think what he's saying there, if I understand, is make sure there's enough for everybody. Make sure there's enough to eat for everybody. So it's going to be a lamb of the first year. Okay? And so I don't know how big does a lamb of the first year get. I don't know. But whatever size it is, have it to where whatever you need for your household, that's what you have. Okay? Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening of the 14th day. You know when the inspection was going on? The man for his household was looking for the lamb day 8, day 9, day 10. He was looking and inspecting ahead of time. Looking for the one on day 10 that he was going to take. You know what? The lamb that he picked on that day, and we know that anything that's on this earth is defiled. Okay, that's it. But yet the Lord gives us commands that he wants us to obey, to show us what the truth is, and then the way that he sees the big picture of all of life and creation and eternity and all those things, to show us what heavenly thing he's going to do. Was a lamb chosen out of the flock in that day perfect? No, because sin did abide. But he said, take a look at it and make sure that there's nothing that you can see, nothing that you can perceive. These men were cattlemen. Did they know how a lamb would act if it had some kind of sickness that maybe you couldn't see physically? They did, didn't they? And that's what the Lord did, is take what you know, take what your friends know, take what your kin know, and apply it to this, and you find the best lamb you can find. And on day 10, verse 6, keep it up. Keep it up till the 14th day. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was sent, because he is God, he's perfect, wasn't he? Without blemish. Without spot. In this 10th to the 14th day of this lamb being kept up was the time that the Lord said, you protect that lamb. We're going to take a look at that. I trust we can get to it here. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the time to show that he was perfect, the time of his life. 33 years. He sinned not once. Not once. There was no fault found in him, was there? Not one. And for you and I to consider such a thing, that just blows our mind, because we're so fraught with sinning. Things come across and come in our minds at the most inopportune time. And we're just in and of ourselves, we're just depraved. We're just full of sin. But the Lord was without sin, without spot, without blemish. And so that was good. That was good for me to see. I'm glad for the question. I'm glad for the challenge. And let it be a note to us, and let it be an admonition and warning to us, how it's so easy for us to take something that we've heard but haven't necessarily checked out for ourselves. Even right there, me up here preaching it, I resorted back to what I thought I knew. That's just being honest. And then my reasoning in addition to it. And then I said what I did. So I appreciate the challenge. It's a blessing to me. It is. Indeed it is. And so that's when, you know, the Passover's coming up, and it seems like there was a number of days between the time that the Lord gave the commandment and when it happened. He says out here at the 10th day, he's ordered about this being the first month for the children of Israel. In verse number 1 of chapter 12, and the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. So it could have been with the Lord ordering and saying, this is now your first month. Before they'd been on what time? Egypt standard time. Right? But now, this is first month. Well, would the Lord say, this is now the first month and it is now the seventh day? No, he'd probably, this is the first month and this is the first day. So they had time. But down here at the 10th month, this is supposition on my part, but you can see how it would be that way. This is the beginning of the year for you. This is now your first month, first day, the 10th day. Get you a lamb and set it apart. Keep it up. And so when the word got around, have we not talked about it here? If we judge the children of Israel to be 3 million strong, how long it would take to get the message through the camp? This one tells this one and tells this one. The Moses tells Aaron. Aaron tells the leaders of the tribes, the leaders of the tribes tell the leaders of thousands, the leaders of thousands tell the leaders of hundreds tell the leaders of tens. It took a while. They didn't have internet. It took a while. And so the Lord made it such that that could be around. And that inspection was happening in those days coming up there as that man began to look amongst his lambs, amongst his cattle, and determine that. The other question that came up is in verse number 5. Let's take a look at this. This is great. And like I said, I appreciate the challenges, the questions, well, wait a minute. No, doesn't the scripture say this? Doesn't the scripture say that? That's good. That's part of what's supposed to happen in the church. Now, the scripture tells us not that we are not to, we are to be such that we look in the scripture together to see what God has and learn what it says and take it and apply it. We are not to debate it. And when I think about it, we're not to debate it as it was there on Mars Hill, where some new thing was always the desire of the day, and they would vehemently debate about things. The Apostle Paul says we don't have a custom to be quarrelsome in the church, but we should strive well to understand what the Scripture says, and then we should, as the Scripture says, sharpen one another. Right? The Scripture talks about a friend sharpening his friend, and talking and discussing and looking into the Word of God, it's good. So here in verse number 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Okay, we understand that. We understand what a lamb is, or the word lamb, shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Okay, so whenever the last time that they were born, you're going to get a male of that group. Okay? Ye shall take it out from the sheep, or from the goats. And so, I'd made the comment, said, well, you would get a lamb, that would be preferred. But if you didn't have a lamb, you could get a kid, because it still needs to be a male the first year. And so, well, wait a minute, you know, the references to the Lord Jesus Christ are all a reference to a lamb. And that's true. It's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world that's there in Revelation, that he alone is able to open the book that could not be opened. And John wept because no one could open the book. But the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, he was found and he was worthy to open the book because he was slain and he had conquered and he had obeyed the Lord. When we take a look here at this word lamb, it's interesting the way that it is. Listen to the synonyms that are here, which you wouldn't be surprised. Synonyms for this word lamb in verse number 5. Sheep, it's used 18 times that way in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, if you will. Cattle, that same word for lamb is used as the word cattle 10 times. Lamb, 16. Ewe, 1. Lamb with an addition of another word on it one time for a total of 46. Listen to the definition that's here. One of a flock, lamb, sheep, goat, young sheep, young goat. And in the sub-definitions of this, it says sheep or goat, and then it gives a reference to the flock. And so here, this reference of lamb seems to be talking about, yes, the lamb is preferred, but if you don't have a lamb, you can use a kid. And so I went ahead and said, well, you know, is there anything else? And it's interesting, and I challenge you to do this. If you go and you go into the Scripture and you study out the balance of the Scripture, maybe we'll take a look at this next time, about where it tells what kind of animal to use. This is the only place. And the rest of the references for the Passover, that what I looked at, the rest of the references for the Passover just talk about the sacrifice. You've got to go to Exodus chapter 12 to find out what the sacrifice is. From what I looked at and what I could find. Now, let's take a look at this word at the end of verse number 5, from the goats. Okay? From the goats. That word, goats, synonyms for it are goat, kid, which is a young, it'd be like a lamb is to a sheep, a kid is to a goat, okay? A kid, or a he, or kids. And the definition here, and it's used 74 times in the Old Testament, the definition here is a female goat, a she-goat, a goat, or a kid. So the scripture here says in verse number 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Well, are goats used otherwise in the order of the sacrifice? That was the question that I had. And I mean, can we find any indication? Because I went to those other references that had anything to do with Passover, and none of them tell about what kind of animal you're to get. It just talks about it, the sacrifice. But when we go and we take a look at the use of kids in the scriptures, we have a bunch of references. In Leviticus, let me read you some of these and we'll turn to some of them. In Leviticus chapter 4, it says, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, and then get this is Leviticus, the book of the law, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. In that same chapter it says, or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. And there's three other references in Leviticus. The last is, then ye shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And then turn over to Numbers chapter 7. Again, the whole thing about the Passover is about the Lord's saving of the firstborn. Remember that. Remember that. The firstborn. The sacrifice is chosen without blemish, kept up, and then sacrificed. Nothing pleasant about that sacrifice. Eaten in haste. And then the children of Israel went out of Egypt in a hurry that night into that morning. Here in Numbers chapter 7, and the offering that was given was one that was less than a year old. It was young. It was a young offering, tender. The whole thing about, one thing about the Passover and that we saw it, this animal was killed, the blood was caught. They were careful not to break one bone of its body. They skinned it with all of its innards in it and its head on it, and that's everything. They roasted it. And I figure, I'm just supposition on my part, but if you had that and you had to eat it, I'd probably be eating off the back strap, wouldn't you, off the tenderloin? Put that sucker over the fire and let it just sit there and cook fast, and then just take it off of the back and eat it, because that would be the only meat that would be protected from the guts that are on the inside. There was nothing pleasant taking a young animal, killing it, skinning it, roasting it, eating it. There was nothing pleasant about the Passover, nothing. Nothing. It was not a meal to be enjoyed. When you go and you're going to go eat that big steak, right? Don't you like to get out there in your comfy shoes and your comfy clothes and sit down so you can bear down and enjoy that meal, right? But how were they to eat? Shoes on the feet, loins girded, staff in their hand. If I was a man, leader of my family, I'd have my staff in my hand eating like this. Wouldn't that be a hassle? On her feet. Middle Eastern custom, as we understand, is they would sit on the ground, on pillows, lean forward, lean back, and they would relax as they would eat. There was nothing pleasant about it. Look here in Numbers 7 in this reference about goat. Numbers chapter 7. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar of all the vessels thereof, and anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for two of the princes, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be able, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou wilt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took of the wagons of the oxen and gave them to the Levites. Two waxen and four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service. Four wagons and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, and the hand of Ithamar and the son of Aaron the priest. But to the sons of Kohath he gave none, because of the service of the sanctuary belonged to them, and was that they should bear upon their shoulders. And the princes offered for dedicating the altar in the day that it was anointed. Even the princes offered their offerings before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering of each prince on his day for the dedicating of the altar. And he that offered his offering on the first day was Nahon. And it goes on and tells about that. And here we go in verse number 15. And one bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And then it goes on in verse 22. This next man, on the next day, he offered a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And it says it that way. If you go and you take, the goats are offered for a sin offering. The goats are offered for a sinner. Verse 28, and a kid of the goats for a sin offering. Verse 34, and a kid of the goats for a sin offering. Verse 40, and a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And on it goes, verse 46, verse 52, verse 58, verse 64, verse 70, verse 76, verse 82, one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And so in this dedication and these princes coming to dedicate that, they offered these kids of a goat for a sin offering. And then there's commands of the Lord and different passages here in Numbers also. Let me read a couple of them to you. Verse chapter 15, it says, thus shall it be done for one bullock, and for one ram, for a lamb, or a kid. It was an option there. We talked about how it was that, and we're going to get to it in time as we take a look at the study, how the firstborn was to be redeemed, and to be redeemed by a lamb. That's the instruction there in Exodus. But then when we time to come down to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they went to the temple to offer for him according to the law of Moses, it says there in the Gospels, it says two turtle doves or two young pigeons, because there was an offering that was allowed for one that was poor, as was Joseph and Mary. And it seems that that is the case here, a lamb or a kid. Well, here's what I propose to you. The lamb is that type of Christ, and that lamb shows innocence, doesn't it? It shows innocence. That's a lamb shows innocence, and the lamb being young, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah says, who shall declare his generation? Because he was cut off out of the land of the living. In the prime of life, the Lord Jesus Christ was taken. And in John chapter 1, it says, John seeth Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is that Lamb. And if one took a lamb to offer for the Passover, they had that was representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God. In Isaiah, it's quoted in Acts, it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, referring to that. In Isaiah, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet opened he not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. It shows that meekness, that gentleness, that innocence, that quietness as a lamb. What is it if there a kid was offered? A goat, a young goat. Well, We don't have time to take a look at it, but next time I plan that we will. If you go and you take a look in Leviticus about the scapegoat. The scapegoat was a goat that Aaron laid his hands upon, and he audibly confessed the sins of the people, and they were, and the goat was led out by a fit man and taken out into the wilderness. And so if a goat, a kid of the goats would be used, I thought of these scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he hath made him," Jesus Christ, God has made Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin." Oh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's that intercession. And that's that propitiation that the Lord has accomplished for us. And it says in Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, and our time is over for now. And we'll continue to take a look at this. It's not a point that I'm going to drive a stake and say that you know, that if you don't agree, that it could be either one, that we're going to fall out. No, it's not the case. But if it is the case, that it would be. Because the Lord made provisions for the poor, and maybe a herdman would be a herdman of sheep, maybe another herdman would be a herdman of goats. Maybe you'd have a herdman that were a herdman of cattle. That was their specialty. The Egyptians liked Jacob's sons because they could do that work for them. They were cattlemen and herders and herdmen in that. And it would be, if a man would raise this, maybe he wouldn't have the other, and he would trade, or he would trade with his neighbor or whatever. And if it is such that a lamb could be offered or a kid could be offered, the Lord in different ways is yet represented in him. He is the innocent given for the guilty. And he is that which our sin was laid upon. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, you need a sacrifice for your sins, because you won't live without it. And all these animals that were given for all the Passovers for hundreds of years, they didn't take care of any sins. There's only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need him. You need him as your Passover. Because one day, you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account of what you've done in this life and what you've done with Jesus Christ. Will you repent? Will you believe and trust in him, his Savior? Or will you reject him? May the Lord help you to see. If thou canst believe, believe.